You are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
Welcome, everybody, to the God's Love Podcast. I'm your host, David Mastin. Thank you for joining me on tonight, on this morning, on this afternoon, whenever you're listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. It has been a blessing. We are over 700 listens. And that happened, I feel like, in a week. So, I appreciate all of you for listening and tuning in and really just, sharing, liking, and sending it to your family, sending it to your friends, and really just supporting it. I appreciate it. I can't say it enough. I'll always start my podcast off just thanking you guys, because I know there's a lot of things that you could be listening to. But getting, just hurrying up and getting started. I hope, again, everyone's doing good. I hope everyone's week is, blessed, and, that you all are enjoying, family, friends. I'm thinking about a week. Valentine's Day is coming, so I hope you have your plans set up, or if you don't have anyone, that you enjoy that time with yourself and appreciate yourself. We're going to jump right into the lesson. And, today is interesting, because I think one of the most difficult things, I'll say for myself. I was going to say for mankind or for human beings, but it may not necessarily be true. But one of the things that is difficult for me is admitting when I'm wrong. And I think everyone has some difficulty. No one wants to be wrong. Let's just clear the air. No one wants to be wrong. Everyone wants their opinions to be right. Everyone wants their thought process to be right. Everyone wants what they believe is the correct way to be the correct way. And that may not necessarily always be true, right? The scripture says, there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the ends thereof are the way of destruction. In other words, there is to some people what they view as right, but that is not necessarily always what's right. And I think one thing that we can all, kind of attest to is to at one point being wrong and the feeling of that, right? It all depends on what magnitude you were wrong, right? So if you were just totally out of pocket and just made a total fool of yourself, whether that could be you said something that you shouldn't have said, or maybe you had a thought and an opinion, but that thought and opinion was not true. Maybe you thought you should, you were driving down a highway. Maybe someone told you to take a right and you said, no, it's left. You take the left and you find out that's the wrong direction, right? So everybody has had a moment where they thought they were right, but they were actually wrong. Some of us know we're wrong, but still do it anyway. Sin is often like that, where we do things that we know we shouldn't probably do, and we do it anyway. There's no, you know, oh, I thought I was right. No, you knew it was wrong before you did it. And you knew that you weren't really into her. You knew that you weren't really into him. You knew that you weren't giving him a time of day before you took his money. You knew that you weren't going to be in a relationship with her before you slept with her. But you decided to do what you thought, what you knew was wrong, and you did it anyway. Sometimes you have weak moments like that. It doesn't even have to be that severe. It could be, you know, you shouldn't have two pieces of cheesecake, but you have two big slices of cheesecake. I know that, you know, if I'm, you know, y'all gotta pray for me. So I'm trying to consistently go to the gym and, you know, lose some weight and tone up and all that kind of stuff. And, it's, let's just say it's a work in progress. So I know that I have to watch what I eat. And if I say, you know what, I want wings instead of cooking a wholesome full-fledged meal because it's quick and it's fast and I don't have to do too much. I know that's wrong, right? I know I'm supposed to be trying to save money. I know I need to be trying to cook. But I know that's wrong. I knew it was wrong before I did it. I did it anyway. And I was wrong. Right. And all of us have had that moment of knowing that was wrong. And then the guilt that's behind it. Some of y'all do it so much. Y'all don't even feel guilty no more. You just do what you do. And however the outcome is how the outcome is. And we turn into selfish beings at that point where we don't even care who this affects. We just do what we do because it makes us happy. It makes us feel good. It makes us fulfilled to do it. I say that all to say, that we have moments where we do wrong and we know it's wrong, and we're moments where we do right and we end up being wrong. The fact of the matter is that all of us, as the scripture says, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice the scripture says all. It doesn't exclude you. It doesn't exclude you because you grew up in the church. It doesn't exclude you because you're the pastor. It doesn't exclude you because you're the bishop. It doesn't exclude you because you're the prophet. It doesn't exclude you because you look nice. It doesn't exclude you because you're tall. It doesn't exclude you because you're short. It doesn't exclude you because you're smart. It doesn't exclude you because you're uneducated or you're educated. It says all. Everybody has sinned. If you are alive, if breath is pumping through your body, if your heart is pumping, you have sinned. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've known the Lord. I don't care how long you and how fancy you thought that you were. You at one point have sinned. Some of you sinning right now. While you're listening to the podcast, and I'm not here to judge at all, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Matter of fact, the Bible goes further in John. Ooh, let me read this. I want to read this scripture to you that says. 1 John 1:8-10. And it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we can, and then it talks about confession. We'll get to that in a minute. And then it jumps down to the last clause and it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So first it says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Second, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. In other words, he's saying that there's unequivocally, there is no doubt about it. You have sinned sometime in your life. Now, here's what we do, especially within the organization of the church. I'm very careful of how I say that, because sometimes that, you know, we confuse the two, where we talk about the church, the body of Christ, and then we talk about the church, the organizational point. Let's clarify. When the scripture says, for example, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church is not an organizational place. It is not an organizational structure of just a four wall building. It is talking about the body of Christ. However, for the concept that we're talking about now, in regards to sin, confession, and all of that, I'm talking about the building that you go to or that you stream now or whatever. A lot of times what we do in that is, we will only clarify the three major sins, which is having sex without being married, getting drunk, and cussing. You know, we that's what we deem as sins. You know, we skip everything else in the Bible about gossiping, about being nice and loving people and all that kind of stuff. But as long as you ain't having sex, and as long as you ain't getting drunk, and as long as you are, and as long as you ain't cussing nobody out, you saved, right? And what we do when we set those standards up, in our churches, and in some places, and then also, let me include in there, as long as you ain't gay, right? Cause that's what they put in there. And that's what they just love to throw in. As long as you ain't none of them, then I guess you're secure. But the fact of the matter is that there's more sins to that than this them. And I don't care where you are in your life, how much money you make, whatever. You have sinned. Okay? Let's and here's my problem. Here's my problem. I had a friend, not really a friend, but I had a friend. I guess you couldn't call this person a friend, but I had an associate who, when I was going through my divorce, they just had some of everything negative to say. Everything. I mean, I was wrong this, I was wrong that, you know, and they, you know, and you should have went and got counseling by us and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, they just let me have it, you know, unloaded, unleashed, just poured out every bit of stone that they had, that they could pour out. Just saturated me with their judgment, and nothing of how I felt or mattered to them. Then maybe about a year and a half later, they getting ready to get a divorce. Yeah, you know, the person who was talking about me now and then told me to come get counseling by them. Now they getting ready to get a divorce. Here's what makes me sick about some of y'all folks. And if it ain't you, then I ain't talking about you. Then if it don't apply, then you let it fly. But some of y'all, what makes me sick to my core, it makes me want to vomit and throw up, is you will criticize somebody for their sin, yet leave your sin untouched. I ain't never seen that before. You would rather worry about the mote in my eye instead of the beam that's in yours. And I talked about this once before, where Jesus says, when he says, worry about the mote in your eye before you try to, the beam in your eye before you try to get the mote out your brother's eye, which means a mote is a pebble and a beam is like a 2x4, and you sitting there trying to get the pebble out my eye when your 2x4 is getting ready to knock you out blind. I've never seen individuals that got seeing issues and yet still try to throw stones at somebody. You got to be out your mind to think that because you don't struggle with that issue, that you can judge somebody else for their actions. You see, maybe yours was not as severe as theirs, or maybe yours was not as deeply rooted as their sin. But you still got sin. You see, that's why we can't judge. And that if we do judge, it has to be a righteous judgment. We got to be careful, because when you are getting ready to release the stone to your brother and your sister, you got to be able and willing to take them same stones. When you mess up, and when you jack up, and when you make a mistake, you gotta be able to and be willing to take that same ridicule and that same criticism. And if you cannot, man, it's best to let God handle it, and pray for your brother and pray for your sister, and allow God to manifest in their life like it is that you are having God manifest in your life. Everybody needs the same grace. You should be giving everybody the same grace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Mercy." If you want mercy, if you want grace, you need to be able to give it. If you want forgiveness, then you should be able to give it. Fact is, all of us have sinned. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have done things that we are not proud of. All of us have messed up. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have been places that we probably shouldn't have been, slept with people that we probably shouldn't have slept with, talked about people that we probably shouldn't have talked about, cut somebody out that you probably shouldn't have cursed out, you lashed out at somebody and you shouldn't have done that, you've let pride overtake your heart, and you've let money be your motivator instead of God being your motivator. You've made idols out of things that shouldn't have been idols. God blessed you with the car. Now you're too busy to pray because you're so concerned about your vehicle. God has blessed you with a spouse, but you put your spouse before God. You would rather put them before God. You would rather them. And you've made your spouse and your significant other your God, so much so to where you would rather serve them than to serve God. What I mean by that is yes, those are things that you're supposed to do, especially if you're married. But what I mean by that is you've made them the center of your worship instead of putting God at the center of your worship. You worship the ground that they walk on. And instead of worshiping the creator, you've worshiped what was created. You messed up. You made a mistake. And it's and the overarching point in regards to that is you should not feel alone in the fact that you messed up. You should not feel alone in the fact that you made a mistake. You should not feel alone. Don't ever let somebody isolate you because of the mistake you made, and they don't isolate themselves. Because sometimes what we can do is we can want others to seclude themselves, but don't want to seclude our own selves for the things that we've done. And we try to make this image as if we are perfect. I'll give you an example. When you're growing up and you're starting in the ministry, and well, for me, you know, they tell you, you gotta wear a suit every single day. You know, whenever you are at the altar and you're praying for people, you gotta have a suit on. You gotta have a shirt and a tie, and you gotta look a certain type of way. And when you go minister at certain places, you gotta have that shirt and that tie. And that's how I was brought up, you know, and you gotta look a certain way. You gotta act a certain way, and you gotta be a certain way, and you gotta make sure you say this, and you gotta make sure you say that, and you gotta make sure you include this. Please don't mention that. And there's all these rules and these regulations, and it's to make yourself appear to be this object of perfection. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you should look shabby, but the ideal is that you look, you know, staunch, and you look affluent, and you are perfect, and you are God's man, and that alone can mislead people, because now when the preacher makes a mistake, it's hard for you to take it, because they gave you this this false image that they got it all together, when really all of us are trying to get it together. We just been called to do different things. See, all of us have been called to do something, but it's just that my calling and your calling is different. I may have the calling to preach this gospel. You may not have necessarily the same calling, but it doesn't mean that because that's my calling, that I am perfect, that I have it all together, that I'm always right, and I'm never wrong, and I never have moments where I slip. I never have moments where I fail. It's not true. It's a false reality. I don't care what minister preaches, takes what mic. I don't care what prophet comes to you. And all of these things may be true. Everything that they say may be true, right? That individual is flawed. They have weaknesses. They have tendencies. They have temptations. They have things in their life that they're trying to work on. Everybody messes up. The question is, what do you do when you do mess up? And so I got a couple of tips here of some things that you should be doing when you mess up. The first thing, and it's literally three things, and it could be more, right? But these are the three things that I believe God's given me. Number one is admission and confession. Remember when we read 1 John 8-10, it talked about if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in other words, John is trying to tell us that if we confess, the word confess in this text, it means to profess. It means to profess it, to proclaim it. This is what I did. A lot of times when it comes down to sins and mistakes, we don't like to admit it that we did it. And we try to escape over the fact that you did it. No. Come on back. You have to admit, you have to confess and profess to God that you did it. This is what I did, God. As shameful as it may be, as wrong as it may be, as bad as it may have been, you have to let it come out of your mouth. God, it was me. I did it. I'm the one who made that mistake. God, it was me. It was me. It was me. I did that. You can't justify it. You can't try to make excuses for it. Confess it. Let it go. You got to let God know, man, it was me. I did it. You don't do it in a prideful way, but you do it. You confess it, man. I was wrong. I did this. This is what I did, God. Notice he said confess. Confession isn't an apology. Confessing is saying, I did this and I was wrong. And what God does when you confess it is he forgives you and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. I'll give you an example. King David is in the Bible. He's on his rooftop. He shouldn't have been there. He should have been, at war, but that's a different topic for a different day. But he was on his rooftop chilling. Relaxing, right? He looks over and he sees a woman by the name of Bathsheba bathing. He sees her bathing. He sees the water glistening off her body. I don't know if they had soap suds or not, but maybe if they had soap suds, he sees the soap bubblies, you know, popping off her body. He sees the curves. He sees how voluptuous or she is. I don't know. I'm just trying to paint the picture for you. and after he sees this, he tells his people, go get her. He don't say, I wonder if she's married. None of that crosses his mind. He says, go get her. I want her. And guess what? She came. She goes to David. David and Bathsheba do the thing, and then he gets Bathsheba pregnant. And he finds out that she's pregnant, and her husband comes home. And when the husband comes home, he tries to get the husband drunk and tries to get him to go sleep with her. And he says, I can't go do that because my men are at war, which is what David should have done and should have said. But again, we'll talk about that at a different time. He says, man, my brothers is at war. I can't go out there. And David tried to get everything he could do to have this man sleep with her so that the baby appears to be his. Is and not the king's. And David tries everything he can to cover his tracks, and it doesn't work. Finally, David takes the husband, puts him at the front of the line, and has him killed in battle, so that it didn't get out that the baby was King David's and didn't have a situation and a scandal on his hand. But here's what happened. The prophet Nathan comes to David and says to him, he says, there was a man who had a bunch of sheep. There was another man who had one precious sheep. And the man that had a lot of sheep killed the man who had one precious sheep and took his sheep. And the prophet Nathan says, what should be done to the man who did this? And David said, surely the man with a lot of sheep who killed the man who had only one sheep, he should be put to death. And Nathan says to David, he says, you are the man. It hits David like a ton of bricks. It hits him like a ton of bricks. And he says, man, I wish you could see David's countenance drop. His soul drop. Because he realized that he made a mistake. And this is what David said to Nathan in 2 Samuel verses 12 and 13. He says, I have sinned against the Lord. And this is what Nathan says back to David. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Man, ooh, God. He says, he confesses. He says, I did it. I made the mistake. I confess it was me. And as soon as he confesses, the Nathan says, the Lord hath put away thy sin. And thou shalt not die. Confession. You have to confess your sins unto God. You have to confess that you made a mistake. Not even spiritually. Some of you have relationships and you have yet to confess the wrong that you did. You want to justify it because what that person did and what that person said. No, you will never be judged off of somebody else's actions. God only looks at you and your actions, and you have to confess, I was wrong. But he said this, you was wrong. But she did this to me. You was wrong. You was wrong. You was wrong. And you have to confess it. You have to confess it. And then the next thing that you have to do is you have to repent. Repent. The Bible, the Apostle Peter, he gives a sermon after the Holy Spirit falls on earth, and there the people in the upper room and the disciples, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And after they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and people are saved, Peter gives a sermon preaching Jesus Christ to the people that were around this event happening. And they asked Peter, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. He tells them to repent. Repent means to have a change of mind. It means to change your mind. It means, man, this is what I previously thought, but I want to do this. I used to follow my own ways. I used to follow my own path, but now I'm going to follow God's path. Now I'm going to do it the right way. Even in personal relationships, let's take God out of it. Let's take Christianity out of it. Some of us, if we confessed and then had a change of mind, come on, if we confessed that we were the ones that were wrong and then change our mind, man, I'm not going to do this the same way. No, it doesn't mean that you're not going to make a mistake. And I always say, never say what you're not going to do, because you don't know what you're not going to do, because you ain't never been put in a position to where what you said you're not going to do, you just might actually do. But it means that, man, I made a mistake. I'm going to do everything I can not to make the same mistake again. I'm going to do whatever I can. Doesn't mean I'm not going to fail. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect, but it means that I'm going to try to do the best. I'm going to make a commitment to try to do it the right way. Last but not least, the third point is that you go back to the Father. When the prodigal son in the Bible, and I'm trying to go as fast as I can, because like I said, I always want to keep these under at the 30-minute mark as much as I possibly can. But the prodigal son, when he goes and he sins, and he asks for his inheritance, and he wastes it on riotous living. He wastes his money on all types of things. And he's sitting there eating with pigs, and he's royalty. Man, I wish some of you knew and understood how much of how royal you are. You are royalty. You are God's creation. You are kinship to Jesus Christ. You've been adopted by the King. And why are you eating with pigs? You shouldn't be eating with pigs. You should be in the King's house. What does that mean? That means you have settled to be where you are, instead of coming back to God and asking him to restore me. And the Bible says when a prodigal son came to himself, when he realized he was wrong, he went back to his father, and his father, seeing him, welcomed him back with open arms. The things that you do when you mess up Number one, you confess. Number two, you have a change of mind. And number three, you go back to the Father. And you commit yourself back to Him. And you allow Him to restore you. The Bible says when the prodigal son comes back, he puts the father, cleans him up, puts on the best robe, puts on his ring, gives him his authority back. He gives him his robe, which is a symbolic to his anointing. He gives it all back to him because he shouldn't have took it off in the first place. And it's perfect. And guess what? This formula works. No matter how many times you mess up, God's grace is not limited. I'm going to say that again. If anybody tell you God's grace is limited, they a lie and the truth ain't in him. God's grace is unlimited. It is the Bible says where sin abound, grace more abounds. You cannot out sin God's grace. Should you try? No. No. But it is not. It is. You cannot put bands on the grace of God. And some of us only put bands on them because we think we're so astute and so high maintenance that we can put a lock on God's grace and who, man, you can't control God's grace. What would you think you was? You cannot be ashamed that you made a mistake. You cannot continue to hide because you messed up. But you got to come back to the Father. Confess it. Have a change of heart. Have a change of mind. And come on back. I want to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for the words that you've blessed them to hear. And I pray, God, that it helps. I pray that someone is encouraged. And I pray that, God, you bless whoever heard. To know, God, that, yeah, they made a mistake, God, but it's okay. To confess it. To have a change of mind and to come back, God. Lord, help us. Father, your grace isn't limited. And Father, if we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive us. Help us to accept your forgiveness and to walk in your love and give us the grace to continue with you. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. Help us, keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. I appreciate you all again for listening. Please like, share, subscribe. I can't wait till next week. Next week, we're going to do a little something on love. We're going to pick back up on our series, the most common misconceptions of love. We did parts one and part two. We'll do part three and four before the month of February is over. But thank you all so much again. I appreciate you all. You all have a great day. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.